tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date, recording date, is the 17th of March. This will not, however, be broadcast until the 19th, and anything can happen in the meantime. Quite frankly, I'm getting sick of this topic, but I do have new information, and if I'm saying I'm sick of the topic, you know what I'm talking about. This is the, I call it the Streisand effect. American lies reveal despair and defeat. Some of you know what the Streisand effect is. We'll get to that in a minute. I'll start off with a quote from the Revolutionary Guard Commander Hossein Salami from March 14th. And he says, "If the United States strikes Tehran's power infrastructure and puts our capital in darkness, and we have the will." The Americans know this. This is why the Abraham Lincoln is, whatever it is, 1,000 miles off the Iranian coast. What missiles are you talking about? He's talking about the Karam Shatter 4 specifically. It's a ballistic missile that has multiple warheads. It becomes 10 submunitions at 15 miles. So let's say, if Iran launches 20 of these, it becomes 200 warheads. Now, there is no way any system can shoot them all down. But let's say 150 get through. But it really only takes 40 or 50 to sink a carrier. Keep in mind that Chinese ships are in the Gulf of Oman, providing all the guidance Iran needs, as well as access to her satellite system. The Ogon and the Tinlian communication satellite constellations, to be exact. The Karam Shatter is a fourth generation, it's an Iranian-built liquid fuel ballistic missile, which came out in 2023. You can put a lot of different warheads on it, very advanced guidance system, and it's designed to evade electronic warfare. Its error is just a few yards, so you're talking about high precision. Within roughly 12 minutes of launch. Also keep in mind that there's a big difference between ballistic and cruise missiles. Ballistic missiles are powered initially by a rocket or a series of rockets in three stages, boost, mid-course, and terminal, but then follow a completely unpowered trajectory. It arches upward out of the atmosphere and then descends, reaches target. Cruise missiles are unmanned, self-guided vehicles propelled by a jet or a rocket engine. In those cases, the cruise missiles have shorter ranges. So that's the difference between those two. Now, the Revolutionary Guard Corps, as we all know, has maintained a high level of missile and drone strikes on the Americans in the Middle East. As is all too well known, the naive view was that attacks on the country would cripple its artillery shortly after the hostilities began. But, of course, we all know that Iran was more than a match for the Americans. On March 11th, the British newspaper The Guardian reported that the U.S. envoy to the Middle East, Steve Witkoff, already requested a ceasefire more than once from Iran through various channels. I had mentioned the Italian embassy. There's been a few others. Iran refused for a bunch of reasons, but one of them is that they're well aware how the U.S. functions. It uses ceasefires to regroup and attack. The present war today occurred during negotiations. The 12-day war last year was launched during negotiations. If you remember the murder of General Soleimani in 2020. Also, during negotiations, the Americans can't be trusted. One of the senior commanders, Ali Fadavi, he mocked the U.S. on all these ceasefire claims. That was March 11th. He said, well, since yesterday, Trump has been personally asking to declare a ceasefire. If the enemy were winning the war, he would not be calling on the whole world to mediate to declare a ceasefire. And we know that that's completely true in this case. We know that the U.S. has withdrawn all of its interceptors from across the world. The miserably failed Patriot and the THAAD systems from South Korea and even Taiwan. We also know that American stocks were severely depleted. Maybe 600 interceptors for THAAD and service beginning of 2025, and a good chunk of that have been expended. Now, the Gulf states have already run out of these, and nothing has been done. The U.S. has refused their request to replenish their supplies. So whatever comes in to the Middle East from around the world, the Gulf monarchies are not seeing anything. This suggests that the shortages are far worse. Of course, everything is worse than the Americans will admit. Israel alone gets this so-called protection. That means the U.S. is out of allies, including the Turks. The UAE has just given the U.S. 48 hours to leave the area, which is pretty wise under the circumstances. The U.S. denies everything. On March 11th, the U.S. Claimed that the damage to the 5th Fleet headquarters in Bahrain was $200 million worth, which is an absurdly low number. But the U.S. denies everything. The Pentagon refuses all requests on this. Their formula is, due to operation security, we are not going to comment on the status of specific capabilities in the region, which I suppose makes some military sense. But they can comment because it would destroy what little morale is left. Satellite images, however, can't be denied. Ali Salem base in Kuwait is largely destroyed, including its satellite communication infrastructure. The UAE, Israel, Oman, Bahrain, they've all imposed strict censorship on the filming and posting video of Iranian strikes. 50 people in the UAE alone have been arrested. However, a sailor on a civilian ship in the Gulf of Oman filmed two Iranian missiles striking oil facilities in the UAE, in the port of Fujairah, easily penetrating the Patriot defenses. The Patriot has been exposed as a total fraud, which, despite its huge price tag, 6 SAMs, surface-to-air missiles, launched from their Patriot batteries, were confirmed in the footage to have failed to intercept 2 Iranian missiles. The projectiles took no countermeasures. So it was a very basic attack. Now, the Patriot is designed to fire 2 interceptors per incoming. So the launch of 3 against each Iranian missile, despite a major strain on supplies, indicates that the system is failing even the most basic crewed attack. There was another video coming out of Qatar. It was less clear. Early in the war, showing Patriot systems consistently failing to intercept targets, each using 3 interceptors per Iranian missile. I mean, given the Patriot's ridiculous price tag, especially for export, it's pretty much a scam. And they're using the PAC-3, the most advanced. Each one costs about $6 million for export clients. That's each interceptor missile. So that means each failed interception attempt costs around $18 million. I've said this before, but the IRGC has destroyed the radar systems on the ground. Of course, at the same time, Iran has an abundance of the short and medium-range missiles. And even if they didn't, Russia and China are assisting the Iranians. And it was last week I gave specific inventories of what's been given so far. But the capabilities of the Patriot system have finally been exposed. In 2025, the Qatar attack, very limited, the Patriot failed against the lower-end Fateh 313 missile, and the U.S. had prior warning of it. But the satellite footage can't be denied. Do you remember Patriot missiles failed to intercept very basic missiles from Yemen on Saudi Arabia in 2017 and drone attacks on Saudi oil fields in 2019? It's an absolute disaster. And this is why the Pentagon largely has been exposed as a paper tiger. It can't rely on its reputation anymore. That reputation is in shreds years ago. These embarrassing losses, their advanced strike and multi-role fighter jets like the F-15, F-18, the U.S. is now losing strategic aircraft that enable its forces to function at all. March 12th, U.S. Central Command said it lost at least one KC-135. What are those? That's the straddle tanker. That's the very large jet that can refuel others in the air. Another was, quote, damaged over Iraq. They're not admitting anything. You know, all they said it was it just crashed in western Iraq. The other was damaged but landed safely in Israel. They refused to admit anything, just say that it was not caused by hostile or friendly fire. March 15th, five more have been damaged or destroyed on the ground in Saudi Arabia. Drago Bosnich made a, you know, he's had enough of these lies. He says, well, I guess these aerial tankers had enough. They're now committing suicide. But who knows? Maybe the ghost of Kuwait is active again. I mean, the lie is so blatant, it's almost designed to be rejected. Now, the Iraqi sources tell the truth. The KC-135 was shot down by the 358 SAM. It uses a rocket booster, uses a turbojet, and it has an optical seeker or even infrared. And these are very mobile. You can launch them from any platform. That becomes a huge problem for the U.S. As of today, six such aircraft have been put out of action out of 20 total. Each one costs about $75 million. By refusing to acknowledge these losses, I mean, most countries will lie about their losses during wartime. But the U.S. has just become so crude about it that it's the excuses have reached levels of cringe that only seasoned analysts can stomach. Even the mainstream media, they'll use words like crashed or lost contact with flight control, anything but admit actual losses. Media refuses, and in fact, is effectively prohibited from using terms like destroyed or lost in action or even shot down. But that's where the Streisand effect comes in. The Streisand effect is named after Barbara Streisand. And it was when her mansion in California was photographed by a scientist for the sake of studying soil erosion. She brought the case to court. That means everyone saw it, not just a handful. So in other words, her bringing it to court to get it taken down led to 500,000 people downloading it. But if she didn't do that, just let it go, no one would even have heard of it. In this case, it works, because the more these lies are told, the worse, the more attention is drawn to their defeat. Then the Trump administration just exacerbates the situation. All of these cheap proclamations of America's victory, the best, the greatest, the most powerful. Yeah, it has a comic effect, but the mass casualties of American men are no laughing matter, because they're dying in large numbers due to this delusion. They're even saying now that the six men killed in the KC-135 were killed because of sudden technical difficulties. Apparently, they're endemic everywhere. It's because of these Iranian strikes that American combat aircraft are forced to operate from bases much farther away from the region than before. That's what made the straddle tankers necessary in the first place. That means when you're flying from more distant bases, there's really nothing left closer. That creates the need for these tankers and in-flight refueling. Now, U.S.-made fighters have a significantly lesser range than the Russian or Chinese equivalents, so that means they have to carry extra fuel on board. It's called the conformal fuel tanks. No one likes them, and they might extend range, but they reduce carrying capacity. So maybe half the weapons that they would normally carry. And as Bosnitz says, there's not to mention the added strain of flying at maximum takeoff weight. They have severe maintenance problems as it is. Well, as I said at the time, when these bases were destroyed, and these radars that were on them were destroyed, the U.S. has to go to the air. So Boeing's E-3 Sentry are being used. These are the huge, they're based on the 707, and they have the distinctive rotating radar above the fuselage. Everyone's seen them at one time or another. The U.S. has to rely now on the E-3 Sentry to provide continuous radar coverage, or else they'd be totally blind. But enough video, enough satellite has shown damage or total destruction of American bases in the region. And it's pretty obvious that the Iranians aren't just going to sit there while they get rebuilt. With the sentries in the air at such a high rate, the straddle tankers will also need to continue supporting this. It's the only way to continue any kind of attack on Iran. Now that a lot of the reports on American Office of Ceasefire are kind of leaking out, if that doesn't show defeat, then nothing will. I want to point something out that I came across. Senator Jody Ernst, Republican, neocon from Iowa. Go to her Wikipedia page, it will say that she is a combat veteran, and in fact, the first female combat veteran to be elected to the Senate. Now, she is a retired military officer. She's a junior senator from that state. She told Newsmax that Iran might deploy drones against the U.S., in other words, against the, 48 states. I don't know how that's possible, but that's the claim. She claimed to speak for all of us. And she said this: they, meaning the Iranians, understand the threat to the homeland, meaning the U.S. If you want to protect Americans here, we have to send servicemen abroad. In other words, this is her demand for actual infantry, what the idiots call boots on the ground, because they think in cliches. That's pretty much all they know. We all know that that was threatened many times in the past, but apparently she hasn't heard that the Pentagon has already told the Trump administration that can't be done. It can't be done because the U.S. simply lacks the resources for something like this. I know it's a little bit off topic, but it made me laugh. I knew the minute I heard that she claims to be a combat veteran that it wasn't true. And it gets more complicated than that. And this is, her whole Senate campaign was based on this. Every time she opens her mouth, she starts off with, as a combat veteran in Iraq, and she says something. Most places will refer to her as a combat veteran, meaning she actually, was at the front, in danger of being shot or destroyed somehow, firing a weapon or something like that. Support staff right at the front. That's what a combat veteran is. But of course, she was nothing of the kind. She was a commander of a transport battalion, never at the front, in Iraq or anywhere else. Now, this isn't just my opinion. Initially, it was. Then I discovered that the Huffington Post calls her a fraud, since she never fired a rifle or any other sort of weapon, or was in any danger of being killed. There's a Vietnam veteran mentioned in the Post article, Larry Hamst, who said, by her definition, everyone who stepped off the plane in Kuwait is a combat veteran. Senator Ernst is using her military experience to gain a political edge and pull the wool over the eyes of the American people. She is a fraud. And he earned the Combat Infantryman's Badge in Vietnam. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but she can actually and legally make that claim that she is a combat veteran, and here's why. George Bush the First issued an executive order, 12744, January 21st, 1991. And it made the entire Arabian Peninsula a combat zone. In other words, anyone in uniform who steps off a plane and puts one boot on the soil out over there is automatically a combat veteran. Any pilot who flies over the anywhere in the Arabian Peninsula is doing combat hours. But she's gone much, much further than that. She has implied she's been in actual combat, and her husband, I can only imagine this guy, has stated many times that she has led men in combat. And Joni did not correct him. But I think it's safe to say that any story about a woman in combat, in the normal sense of the term, is false. So we have a few things going on here. You do have a faction of the Republican Party. And of course, because she's a junior senator, she has limited influence, but she's still a senator. They have a very different system than the House in terms of hierarchy. A few things going on here. Probably the greatest piece of evidence for the American defeat is a demand for a ceasefire. The Iranians, or at least, you know, someone in the axis of resistance has finally realized that you could never trust the Americans. Every time they have attacked someone, it was in the middle of negotiations. Now, basic decency, and I don't have to talk about international law or any nonsense like that, but basic decency, the history of warfare, is that when you're in negotiations, you don't use that as an attack platform. The U.S. does. Even that alone is an issue. The failure of the Patriot. Now, we haven't, you know, that thought hasn't been used. There's only a handful of them out there. But the Patriot, which was, if you recall, not that long ago, touted as a total game changer. The media loves the term game changer. They're never correct. They're getting their information from the manufacturer, from the regime. And I have told you what an embedded journalist is. An embedded journalist, that term was first coined in Operation Desert Storm, not SHIELD. An embedded journalist is someone who, quote, for their own protection, is part of a military unit. And whatever they write has to go through the commander. Now, whatever level, could be divisional commander, could even be the battalion commander, whoever it is, make sure that it's okay. Make sure that it's not too negative. And then it goes to the editor, which is then edited some more in this regard, and then it might be published. And this is why you simply can't trust anything coming out of the press. They could tell you that, well, I was over there, but you know, they're not wandering around the desert. Another, the Gulf states. Now, I know the UAE has thrown the U.S. out. The Iraqis have tried to throw the U.S. out many times, and they sometimes refuse to go. The U.S. has refused to clear. There's like, you know, 20 soldiers left in Afghanistan. I'm not sure what they're going to do. But by refusing to even slightly replenish their supplies, you know, they don't. The Patriot isn't going to help them very much anyway. But it's the concept. These are the same states that were getting all kinds of weaponry from Israel and the U.S., a huge part of the American ability to project power over there, now want nothing to do with the U.S. It's not merely because the U.S. is not giving them anything anymore. It simply can't. And now they're defenseless. It's not just that. But the Iranians, too, have said, you know, you continue to host the U.S., you know, we're going after you, which just makes perfect sense. And it's just not worth it anymore. If the U.S. were winning, it wouldn't be a problem. Now, the Turks have gone back and forth, which if this president wants to stay president, he can't. Not after Gaza, and now this on top of it. There was no reason for any attack on Iran. The nuclear scientists, I mean, years ago we talked about the assassination of these men. I don't know, I think it's 15, maybe more by now, murdered by Mossad. Sometimes right in their homes. None of these men were trained in the creation of weaponry. All of their training, they were hired, they were brought to government service because they dealt with civilian nuclear power. As I've said a million times before, the process of nuclear power versus nuclear weapons is completely different. The chemicals are different, and the specialists are different. Most of these men, in fact, were opposed to nuclear weapons. So it had nothing to do with that. It had to do with making Iran or pushing Iran back into the third world. It had nothing to do with any weaponry. I think there's 19 total. Not all permanent necessarily, but 19 bases in the area. The sole purpose of surrounding Iran have either been badly damaged or destroyed. They've been put out of commission one way or another. The Iranians, or so I've been told, have attacked the hotels in which American soldiers have stayed. Now, according to the U.S. rules of engagement, they are the American rules of engagement, they are legitimate targets. At any given time, there's 40,000 American soldiers at all of these bases combined, which has to mean the U.S. has suffered very high casualties. Now, whatever the U.S. admits, if they admit anything, the number is far, far higher, the real number. And this formulaic response to the Pentagon, it's kind of like someone taking the fifth. You've seen these mafia guys take every single question. They say the same thing, about taking the Fifth Amendment. They mention operational security, and we can't comment on this. It became a little bit awkward when the satellite imagery came out. Yeah, satellite imagery is not self-interpreting. But when you see a black hole there, it generally suggests what actually happened. The censorship. Now, we talked about Israeli censorship last year and in previous times. You cannot show, all of their buildings on fire. Now, as I mentioned, we talked about the UAE as a new source of rich Jews fleeing there. Now, Dubai is now in flames. So I guess they're coming to the U.S. Yeah, the new Qasadia is can't be done now. Now the UAE can't be done, thanks to the Trump administration. But having this strict censorship, and these aren't symbolic. People are getting arrested in large numbers. 50 people were just in the UAE. The U.S. is now seen not only as the paper tiger, but incompetent. The lies about their losses, the cause, I'm going to put it this way, the cause of their losses, it gets worse and worse as time goes on. In order to, they'll never say that this combat jet was destroyed by an Iranian missile. They're never going to admit that. They come up with something else, even going so far as to say that we're just incompetent. It doesn't matter. Technical difficulties, friendly fire. They went into a storm, anything. And of course, the American press is right there lying with them because they really don't have any independent sources of information. Rather than saying that the plane was shot down, saying that the plane lost contact with flight control is extremely transparent. The Patriot, even with basic attacks, even when the U.S. has foreknowledge of the attack, isn't working. The THAAD system may be better, but there's not enough of them to use anywhere. Being forced to go to the air for radar, this is not something the U.S. had expected. And keep in mind, these Patriots are PAC-3, the most advanced and, of course, the most expensive. I don't even think that the Pentagon can rely on it. It wasn't able to rely on its reputation even before this. It was in tatters for a long time. I've written substantially on how the U.S. lies about its casualties going back to 1990. And I'm sure every World War II, Korea, Vietnam, are all, remember, keep in mind that in the U.S. during the Second World War, media were forbidden to run pictures of dead GIs. The first one was Life magazine at Iwo Jima, 1945, near the end. And it's only been people like myself, Bosnich, a handful of others that have consistently made this claim for a very long time. The U.S. is even more embarrassed that many of its more advanced jets are being destroyed on the ground. And now, even the aircraft carriers can't function. There's numerous versions of the carrier killer missile developed by the Chinese. The Russians really never got into that. That's not a huge concern for them. If everything would be a land-based war with them. And they have missiles that are the equivalent of that. But the Chinese are dealing with navies, as are the Iranians. And they're hypersonic. And whether or not they use the multiple warheads, it's not really a cluster. And cluster munitions are okay if it's used at sea. It doesn't take much to sink one of their aircraft carriers with, you know, thousands of sailors on board. And please, stop talking about World War III. I'm begging people who might be writing on this, it isn't happening. Why? Because you all forget that Pakistan has nuclear weapons. The U.S. is not going to risk this. And it really doesn't matter. I mean, Pakistan is close to China. China is close to Iran. Whatever relations they may have had in the past doesn't make any difference. It's very different now. Everything's changed. Yes, the word cringe is actually appropriate here. It's very hard to read this stuff. And then to hear senators mention it. American men on the ground would be absolutely destroyed. Unfamiliar with this place, and you have a huge, highly motivated, and very dug in Iranian army, Marine Corps, with minimal they don't have air superiority. It simply can't be done, and the Pentagon has already told Donald Trump it simply can't be done. Yeah, it's true. When it goes to the air, the stratotankers, the U.S. has the largest fleet, something like 25. But the fleet is very old and getting older, and it requires a tremendous amount of maintenance, which is something the U.S. Air Force is not doing very well. The fact that pro-Iranian militias in Iraq, remember Iraq is mostly Shiite, using the SA-67, something along the shoulder-based weapons that the Viet Cong used, and probably the regular North Vietnamese infantry used. It's not shoulder-based, but the platform, it can be very simple. So, again, whatever the U.S. claims in terms of losses, whatever it admits, you realize that it is far, far, far higher than that. And somehow, because they live in a bubble that the media itself created, their own media has created, I don't think they realize how ridiculous their excuses sound. For anyone who knows, saying that the plane just randomly crashed, I'm not sure how that's better than saying it was shot down by a first world opponent. The Trump administration started these wars because he was told that the Iranians were third world backwater. It's kind of like Hezbollah with a country, something along those lines. And by the way, the Israelis have not defeated Hezbollah. They have not defeated Hamas. So Western powers are losing everywhere. And now the U.S. has lost every single ally it had there. It's just not worth it anymore. But these euphemisms are getting to the point where even common sense says these are getting ridiculous. And then claiming that the war was won. I think they said the war was won like on the second or third. And because of this, and I think they believe that, and because of that, you have huge casualties. A substantial percentage of the 40,000 or 50,000 that were stationed there, total. And now they're wandering around the desert now, finding hotels anywhere because they don't have a base. And even those hotels are being targeted, which is acceptable according to the American rules of war. This is information, of course, you're not going to get pretty much anywhere. That's some of the new, more or less new information I have for you. Now, when this comes out, much more will be developed. Unless, there's nuclear war, which of course is not going to happen, I'm going to be moving to other topics because, the rest of the world continue to exist. They don't disappear because Israel's on fire. But these are exciting times. The defeat of the regime continues. Yes, Iran is suffering. The war is needless. But keep in mind, not a single solitary strategic goal of the U.S. has been reached. In fact, the opposite has occurred. The government in Tehran is popular with the majority of its citizens. Nationwide, not just a handful of westernized people in the capital. She is awash in weapons. She has Chinese ships, which the U.S. will not touch, giving her all the information they need and full access to their satellite communications. Hezbollah, Hamas, still fighting hard. Patriotism exposed, and the U.S. now exposed as a paper tiger, finally. I can't count the number of times I've said this in the past. Worse than all that, the one symbol of American so-called superiority, the aircraft carrier, has been forced to, the Abraham Lincoln has simply abandoned its mission because it knows what Iran's capable of and the hypersonics and the guidance systems that the Chinese are helping them with. The Gerald Ford still, there's tremendous trepidation. 5,000 men on one of these. The academic Iran experts, again, they're not only wrong, but the opposite of what they say has occurred. It's humiliation. And what gets me is that they will never suffer any professional consequences because of their many, many, many errors. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.